Everybody ready? Well, good morning. Groundhog Day is behind us, and we finally have a taste of winter here. We have, I think, a very exciting thing to talk about today. Today, the Lieutenant Governor Reynolds and I will be very honored to share with you some of the details regarding the upcoming visit to Iowa of China's Vice President Xi Jinping, who is scheduled to become the leader of China before this year is over. As you know, this will actually be Vice President Xi's second visit to Iowa. He first visited our state through our Iowa Sister State program in April of 1985 when he was director of the Feed Association of Shishazhuang, capital city of our sister state, Hebei Province. During that visit, he traveled to Muscatine, Sheffield, Cedar Rapids, and Des Moines, and saw firsthand the strength of Iowa's agriculture industry through visits to local farms, companies such as Sukup Manufacturing, Quaker Oats, and Monsanto, just to name a few. Last September, I had the distinct honor to visit with him in the Great Hall of the People, and Vice President Xi began our conversation by saying, "I was in your office at the state capitol in Des Moines on the 26th day of April, 1985. And then he went on to mention the names of some of the people that he met. Luca Baroni was a staff person assigned to him. Sarah Landy, who was in charge of the sister states. He actually had the itinerary from what was then 26 years previously. And he talked with fond memory of how well he was treated, the people he stayed with in Iowa, and the things that he saw here. I think especially the people of Iowa is, and that's our greatest asset, the friendliness, the hospitality, the kindness that was showed to him back in 1985. And it goes to show you never know when a visitor may someday be a very important leader. So you want to treat everybody with respect and dignity. I then extended an invitation to Vice President Xi to return to Iowa and specifically mentioned we'd love to put together a reunion of the wonderful people that he met here in 1985. As you know, he's now accepted that invitation, and the Lieutenant Governor and I, along with our staff, have been in regular contact with Vice President Xi's planning team, including the Chinese ambassador to the United States, the general counsel from Chicago, and many other people representing everybody from their security to their media. Today, we'd like to share with you some of the plans for February 15th and 16th. Vice President Xi will be traveling first to Muscatine. He's going to land actually in Moline and then motorcade to Muscatine. And then and we'll have a meeting with old friends there in Muscatine and talk about a chance to reminisce about his visit here. He will also have cabinet ministers with him, and they will travel with him. But he will have a large delegation, I think, probably 160 to 200 people total. They will not all go to the Muscatine meeting, however. That will be Vice President Xi and just some of his top cabinet people. He will have that reunion in the late afternoon of the 15th, and then we'll go back to the Moline Airport. We'll come here to Des Moines. We will meet him at the Des Moines Airport. Following that meeting, we will have the official greeting at the airport. In fact, my granddaughter, Mackenzie, is going to present him flowers, just like I think some of you heard me tell the story about when we went to Shishazhuang the first time. We were met at the railroad depot by a delegation that, I don't know, we're going to have a band. They had a band, and they presented Chris with a bouquet of flowers as we arrived to show their friendship and hospitality. So we intend to present him with flowers at the airport. We will then come here to the Capitol. We'll have a brief reception with just a very small group of people. We've invited people like our congressional delegation and a few of the top business leaders, and it's going to be a very small group meet with him in my office. And then we're going to have a state dinner in the Capitol like we do for the World Food Prize that evening. We are very excited about that. The Lieutenant Governor and I are proud to be able to host Vice President Xi, and the fact that he's going to be the leader of China, and I think he has a very positive feeling, obviously has a very friendly and positive feeling about Iowa, and we think that could be a tremendous asset to us going forward as well. We've seen great progress in our relationship over the years. You know, when I first went to China, it was like going back in time. We've now seen tremendous economic progress. We've seen the country open up, use market-driven principles much more than planning system that the previous regimes had held. So we're excited about that future, and we're proud that among his visits, you have a brief visit in Washington, D.C., and all of these are brief, actually. Then he's here in Iowa. He will stay overnight, and the details for the 6th have not been planned yet. 16th. So he'll be here, stay overnight the 15th in Des Moines, and then we'll be here in the morning of the 16th, too, and there's meetings and visits planned at that, but that the details of that have not been, I guess, finalized yet. And at this point, let me turn it over to the Lieutenant Governor to talk a little more about this.
Well, good morning, and thank you, Governor. As you know, last year, both the Governor and I had the opportunity to travel to China to promote our state to one of our strongest trading partners. And now we could not be more honored that Vice President Xi is planning a return trip to Iowa to help foster that friendship that started in 1985 between our state and China. The country of China is an important trading partner to many Iowa companies as well as Iowa farmers. According to the U.S.-China Business Council, Iowa exports to China grew by almost 1,300% from 2000 to 2010. And among the top exports are corn, soybeans, machinery, and processed foods from Iowa companies as well as Iowa farmers. With this strong history of trade, there is great potential to expand on these exciting relationships to help feed China's growing and increasingly thriving population. As the governor and I work with Iowans to get our state's economy back on track, exports and reverse foreign investments into Iowa is a key component of making that happen. Iowa businesses and the people that they employ will continue to benefit from growth opportunities of increased exports. According to the International Trade Agreement Administration, over one-fifth of all manufacturing jobs in Iowa depend on our ability to export. So stronger trading partnerships, again, lead to the creation of new jobs and careers for helping Iowans, in addition to helping raise family incomes. We look forward to Vice President Xi's visit to Iowa as we, again, are given the opportunity to build upon old friendships and strengthen the economy and our partnerships for the future. So with that, I think we'll look forward to taking questions.
This is probably far and away the biggest, most significant event that we've had during the time I've been governor. I would say it ranks with the Pope's visit to Living History Farm, Khrushchev's visit here to Iowa in 1959. Those were great events. This one, I think, for the economic future of our state could be even more significant in that China is the largest country in the world. They have a very growing population, and as their middle class grows, there's more and more demand for protein, which obviously, you know, and it's not just corn and soybeans. We're now talking pork and beef and the opportunity to expand those exports. They also have significant dollars to reinvest, and there's significant interest on their part of investing in creating jobs here in the United States. So we see this as very significant, and the fact that we have this personal relationship with a future leader of China, I think, is a very positive thing for our state.
Is your administration having any discussions at all about human rights issues in China?
No, we feel that's the responsibility of the federal government. As governor of the state, federal government obviously has a responsibility of foreign policy and issues of that sort. So that's really something that the president, the vice president, the State Department, and Department of Defense work on. Our responsibility, my responsibility, I feel, is to promote Iowa and create jobs in our state and try to build friendships around the world. And we see that international understanding and things like Friendship Force and sister states and things like that have been really helpful in doing that. Iowa has been a leader in that. going back to my predecessor, Governor Ray, who did go to China. I then, as governor, signed the Sister State Agreement in 83 with Zhang Shuguang, who was the governor of Hebei Province. He then invited us there. I went there in 84. Xi Jinping was part of the delegation that came here in 85. That sister state has been strong through all this period of time, through subsequent governors as well, and they've grown. And the importance of China has gotten bigger and bigger, and their economy has gotten better and better. So we think this is just a great opportunity, and we think that in terms of the issues of foreign policy, those are the responsibility of the federal government, not the states. No, it's my intention to build on the friendship that we have had for a long period of time and look at opportunities for building on that. And I also would say that if you look at his history and background, he's somebody who has had he's not been a hardliner. He has been somebody that's been interested in building relationships with other countries, and certainly the fact that he feels this warm, positive feeling towards Iowa, we think is a very good thing for us to build on. Oh, yes. I mean, when you have a visitor of this importance come to your state, you want to assure them that they will be secure. And so we are working with them, and we are working with their security people to assure them. And Larry Noble has been on the meetings with that. And obviously, there will also be our federal government and their security people are also involved in this as well. So we're going to assure Vice President Xi that he's going to be secure and safe and treated well when he comes to the state of Iowa. We do respect people have a right to express their opinion and protest, but we also don't want that to any way be a threat to the Vice President or to any of the members of his delegation.
So you can clear the statement out of legislators and everyone else?
Actually, we're going to invite all legislators to the state dinner. And all members, we're going to invite members of the court, the legislature, and elected officials. So we're trying to be inclusive, not exclusive, from that perspective. But, it will be by invitation only. And we will have key business leaders as well. We will have some people from some of the cultural organizations that have worked over a long period of time with China. And we do have some neighboring governors that are coming, too. I think that and Secretary Vilsack will be here. And I'm not sure about our congressional delegation. They're all invited. I've talked to several of them personally, both senators and our congressmen. But it's right in the middle of the week, and they will be in session. So we're not sure whether they'll be able to be here or not. But they're certainly welcome and invited to the private reception in my office as well as to the dinner. So we're trying to be very inclusive of the people that we think need to be there, but it is by invitation only, and the invitations are just going out.
I'm kind of on shaky ground here, but state dinner, that's sort of a technical term. Have we ever had a state dinner?
Well, when we go to China, that's what they do. They host a kind of an official dinner for us, and they call it a state dinner. So I guess we have that for the World Food Prize. And so this would be very – if you want to look at – this is going to be in the same location as we have the World Food Prize dinner. And you know how formal that is. And obviously Ken Quinn is also working with us. He also comes from a background in the State Department and obviously very familiar with Asia. He's going to be very involved, and he's been very helpful in this whole process. So Ken will be an integral part of helping us to do this and doing it the right way. And obviously, we're working on a lot of protocol people. I think it's fair to say Kathy Hill from Economic Development, who's had a long experience in international, is kind of leading this effort as from the Partnership for Economic Progress. And Julie Vanderhoof on my staff has kind of been the lead person on our staff. Well, I believe that we're going to obviously try to treat everybody with respect and dignity, but we're also going to make sure that we assure that there's no potential for violence or confrontation with our honored guests.
Does that mean that there won't be a lot of campable grounds, that they'll be in a staging area, a block or two away?
I think that's generally what's done in these kind of situations. And obviously, in this case, we've got to work with our national security people and with the security people from China. So it's not just the state of Iowa that's making this decision, but we're making this in conjunction with them. And like I said, we want to be good hosts, and we promised the Vice President and his people that he will get the same kind of warm, friendly reception that he received when he came to Iowa the first time back in 1985.
Can you discuss the potential economic benefits to global companies as the President's visit or Vice President's visit send a message to Chinese companies that perhaps considering Iowa businesses that they might benefit from that?
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you asked that question, because this is very significant and especially important from the Chinese perspective, that businesses on their side look, is this something that's favored by our government? In this country, it may not make that much of a difference, but in China, that's real important. So when the next leader of China says, you know, I really like Iowa, the people of Iowa treated me real well, I think that sends a very clear signal to his cabinet members and to the business people that will be accompanying him that this is a good place to do business, and we, the Vice President certainly looks favorably on relations with Iowa. So we want to capitalize on this. We want to use this as a great opportunity, and we've already seen great progress. You heard about the nearly 1,300% increase in exports in the last decade. That's phenomenal. But the potential of the future is even greater, and we think that his leadership is going to be a very positive thing, and we certainly want to help Iowa businesses, and that's one of the reasons why in choosing who would be invited to the dinner and who will participate in the other events, we want to make sure that Iowa businesses who are doing business over there, who contemplate doing business over there, who are interested in partnering with Chinese companies, have the opportunity to have some important discussions.
Is there potential for the Vice Premier to visit an Iowa farm like Khrushchev did?
Yes. That hasn't been finalized, but that is definitely one of the things. There's been a lot of interest in that, and I can tell you they've looked at a lot of different farms. I don't know that a final decision's been made, but I think there's a real distinct possibility that he could visit an Iowa farm, as he did when he was here in 85.
Yeah. What about the Chinese-owned wind farm, HG Wind Power? Will he visit that?
I don't know whether he will visit that. I mean, there's a whole lot of companies here that, and there's other things that are being contemplated as well. And so we've given them a lot of possibilities, and they've looked at and explored a lot of places they could go and do. They really only have that morning of the 16th. And so there's only so much time available. I think they're then leaving in the early afternoon to go to Los Angeles. So we only basically have that morning and how much we can squeeze into that. And obviously, we're deferring to their delegation to a great degree. And I would just say the Chinese Consul General in Chicago has spent a lot of time here and has worked very well with us, and so has the ambassador to Washington D.C. And they've had many others, but those two very high-ranking people representing China have been kind of the lead people we've worked with in this.
And they've been on the ground here.
Yes, a lot. The Consul General, I've almost said he should move to Des Moines because he's been here a tremendous amount the last two or three weeks.
Has the auditor pointed out any criticisms of your budget to you yet?
David, can you respond to that?
He's having a press avail, I think, right after this. We've been in conversation, and I'll leave it for him to explain that.
We're very encouraged about the progress we've made. In 1 year, we inherited a mess. I think the auditor would confirm that. A lot of one-time money used for ongoing expenses, a lot of bad budgeting practices. We've tried to work diligently to correct that, but we've also had to do some compromises to work with the legislature in this process. And in that process, obviously, I think there's some things that the auditor has criticized. But, you know, we need to work with the legislature, but we also need to continue to make progress in getting our state's house in order. I can't help but laugh at that.
In regards to the conference for LGBT.
Well, I'm not a puppet to anybody. He knows better than that.
Question on the Air National Guard situation with the possible loss of the fighter jets. Are you involved in that at all? Can you tell us anything about the possible? Is that a done deal? Is there any?
I hope not. First of all, this is just the recommendation. I guess it's come out of the Pentagon. General Orr briefed me on this. I think it's a big mistake. This fighter unit in Des Moines has had a tremendous record of service, and they are outstanding. And as I understand, they're the only fighter unit in the country that's been targeted to be replaced. And I think they're making a mistake. I think they ought to take another look at it. I intend to work with our congressional delegation. I'm also co-chair of the Governor's Advisory Group that meets with the Pentagon on national security and National Guard and Homeland Security issues, and I certainly intend to bring that up at the February meeting. And obviously General Orr, who's our Adjutant General, is also very respected in military circles. He feels that this is a mistake, and he and I will work together to see what we can do. And we certainly intend to work with our congressional delegation, who shares our views that this is a mistake and that hopefully can be reversed.
There was a bipartisan meeting in eastern Iowa,
right,
regarding another installation, which you were probably invited to.
I talked with both congressmen from both the Iowa and the Illinois side, and they're working together on this. It's a Rock Island Arsenal. It's a major employer in the Quad Cities, and this was threatened before when I was governor, and we went to bat for and were able to keep the arsenal, and in fact actually were able to see employment there expand. Again, this is an important facility, and I think we've got to be very careful in the decision making. I don't know that there's any recommendation been made there yet, but obviously with the major reduction in defense spending that the country's faced with, there's concerns about a lot of things, and we certainly are concerned about this one. And I've talked with Schilling.
Yeah.
Congressman Schilling and also Loebsack. I've talked with both of them, and pledged my support to work with both of them on this issue. So
you'll be meeting in February on that too.
And that'll be another issue that we'll bring up at the February meeting of the governors.
Back on the budget, you said we've made a lot of progress in the last year. Yep. But what improvements do you feel still need to be made? Where do you want to take us in the future?
Well, I want to conform to the auditor's feelings with regard to the auditor's opinion with regard to what we need to do to have a budget that conforms to generally accepted accounting principles for public entities, which only uses ongoing money to pay for ongoing expenses, and which has an open and transparent budgeting process, and one that meets the criteria that the auditor feels is, and I shouldn't say feels, that the auditor, and he is a professional CPA and understands what needs to be done, and so I made that commitment when I ran for this office that we would do all we could. We knew that we couldn't accomplish it all in 1 year, but I think we made dramatic progress last year by putting together a 5-year budget plan for the state, by passing, and we advocated a 2-year budget for everything. We didn't get it for everything, but we got it for the big things like school aid and Medicaid, and we want to certainly continue to make progress in getting that accomplished for all aspects of the budget as well.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.